Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And I would just like to say that it is a privilege to be able to share the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ with you. And before our class, I would just like to ask those two questions that I always like to ask before every class, because I never know who's going to be watching the videos or listening to the audios over the internet, or which will be the first class they actually listen to or watch, view. I like to ask these questions because the class is a progressive class. And it would be good, if this is your first class, to go back to the very, very first class and just kind of catch up from that point, because it is a progressive class, and I'm sure it would bless you if you began from the beginning. Anyway, the two questions are basically this. The first question is, are you born again? And if you're not born again, you must be born again. It's very simple. Anyone who is born again would immediately say, yes, you must be born again. Okay? Now, the second question I have is more for those who are born again already. And the question is simply this. Are you knowing the life that you have been birthed of? Are you knowing the life that you have received? And this comes only by the revealing of the Son, the appearing of Christ. He is the life. He is also the light of the life. If there is no light, there is no understanding of the life that we have received. If the day does not dawn in our hearts, then we truly have no clue of the indwelling Christ, of the Christ who dwells within our soul, the ones who are born again. Okay, anyone who has seen the Lord would say, you must, they would say, Christ must be revealed. If you do not see, you do not know. That's the order of the spiritual order of knowing. To see is to know. We've looked at that in several previous classes before, but I just wanted to make it just really clear that there must be a seeing of Christ. There must be an appearing of Christ. There must be a revealing of the indwelling Christ, of the indwelling Son of God. And so much more, and I do say this, and I do ask these questions because it's so much more than just a class. At some point, this class will come to an end. This actual class, it'll come to an end. But the dealing of the Holy Spirit will not come to an end. The Holy Spirit deals with the soul of man with one goal, with one purpose, that heart would turn unto the Lord, the veil being removed, and for the one who's not born again, that life would appear where there was no life before. For the one who is born again, that the heart would turn to the Lord, the veil being removed, let there be light, as we've seen in Genesis. The Son being revealed of the Father by the Spirit. It is so important to continue in the appearing of Christ. That is the purpose for the soul. That's the purpose why God created the soul of man, for the appearing of His Son. We can see it in Genesis. We actually have seen it in Genesis in previous classes, that even with the type, even with the figure, even with this in the Scriptures, Genesis, God created a creation. A creation that was purposed to testify of His Son, purposed to testify of His beloved Son. John 5:39, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, that's great, I know you search them, because you think you're finding life in the Scriptures. And He says this statement, the Scriptures testify of Me, and they are they that testify of Me. They testify of Christ, they testify of Jesus. So we have a creation, a natural creation, that is to testify of Christ. The very first thing that God does in that natural creation is he says this, let there be light. The very first thing that He does in His creation. How much greater the new creation does the Father want to reveal the light of that creation, the light of life, His Son. We've seen it even with the passage with Paul in Corinthians. As God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, in reference to Genesis, where I was just speaking, So hath he commanded the light to shine in our hearts to give. Actually, let me go ahead and just read it real quick. If not, I'll probably just quote it a little wrong. But it's 2 Corinthians. We have covered this one, this verse, so many times in this class as well. 4:6. For God, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, in reference to Genesis, hath shined where? From the outside? No, on the inside. In our hearts. In our hearts. For what purpose? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There you have it. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God that is currently present within the soul found in the face of Jesus Christ. But it is the light of the knowledge to know the indwelling Christ. The light, the knowing of the knowledge of the indwelling Christ. Okay, so just with that being said, I would like to continue on with our class. And I would like to just say this, that the appearing of the Lord is the purpose for the soul across the board. God created the soul with one purpose, the appearing of His Son, the appearing of His beloved Son, the appearing of His Messiah, the appearing of His Christ. And that is the same for the one who isn't born again as for the one who is born again. God's purpose does not change. His goal does not change. Why? His Christ, His Son, does not change. Okay? And just recently, I do have my notes for the class here, and we will go over them. But I just have a couple of verses that I've recently had on my heart for the past couple of days, and I don't want to say it's a serious matter, but I will say that it is a sobering matter. A sobering matter, okay? Whether we walk in the appearing of Christ or not, whether we continue in the revealing of the indwelling Christ or not, okay? The constant issue in the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord turning the hearts of His people back unto Him again. You can find it time and time again. One of the passages that I'm thinking of is, I think it's in the Book of the Kings, where Elijah and the prophets of Baal in Mount Carmel. And what does the Lord do? All Israel is following Baal, serving Baal. And they are far from the Lord, far from purpose. Okay, they've fallen from their own purpose for existing. And what does the Lord do? Here comes Elijah. He gathers them all up. He says, gather me to all Israel to me, and gather, all the prophets of Baal. And everyone gets excited and says, well, they're going to have a showdown. It's God against the bad guys or whatever. No. There's something greater than a showdown going on. What's greater is what we find in Elijah's prayer. It says that he rebuilds the altar. The altar is no longer in view. Christ crucified is no longer in view. Okay? Paul, who said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The vessel is here. The vessel is here. And he goes on to say, yet not I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Not I the life of the vessel, but Christ is the life of the vessel. He has an understanding. Christ and Him crucified. Okay? The appearing of the Lord. The appearing of the Lord. Okay? Not just the appearing of anything. No, the appearing of the Lord Himself. All right? So, back to the example with Elijah. Elijah's gathered all the prophets of Baal and everything, and he says, okay, well, we're going to do a sacrifice, and he says, you prophets of Baal, you go first. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. He says, you go first, you call upon the name of your God, and he says this, the God who answers by fire. He is the Lord. He is the God. He is God. Okay? So all the prophets of Baal get together, and they do their thing. They call upon their God, and actually Elijah mocks them. He mocks them, he mocks their God, because he's not a God at all. Okay? He mocks their futility. In the Hebrew, it's actually in a real crude way, the way he mocks them, but I won't go into that. I'll just pick up reading to verse 28. This is still with the prophets of Baal. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. Okay, they were trying to call upon their God. Zero. No response. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The very first thing, bring the altar back into view. But not only is there an altar, there must be a sacrifice. It is Christ and him crucified. There's the cross and there's Christ, okay? He says he took the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Jacob. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he put the wood in order. I mean, it's also very significant. Put the wood in order. He said, throw water on it. Throw water on the whole thing. Okay. Verse 36. He drenches the whole thing with water. Okay. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the sacrifice, of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Father, Son, Son in increase. Father, Son, glorified Son. That's what Israel is. Prince with God. The Prince of Life. Declared to be, listen to the other verse, I'm not sure if we covered it in the previous class. Declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of Holiness from the resurrection of the dead. I think we did read that passage. Maybe I'm thinking of a different class. I'll just go ahead and read it. It's in Romans 1, verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There you have it. Abraham, Isaac, the one who must fall into the ground and die, and Israel, the increase of Isaac. It's basically what it is. All right. So this is Elijah's prayer. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. The Lord liveth. The Lord, you are God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. I've been looking, just the two passages that I'm definitely going to share, just in regard to ministry, in regard to those who are in ministry. Those who are in ministry must walk in the purpose for which their souls were created, just as everybody else. They must. Listen to these words. And that I am thy servant. There you go. Servant. Servant. Who is Lord in this situation? Is Elijah Lord? No. The Lord is Lord. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. This one is the Lord. This one is God. Elijah's not the Lord here. He's not the one in command. He's not the one speaking out of his own mind. No. The Lord. Elijah, his servant. Why? Elijah, we've already looked at this. Elijah has an understanding. Very simple. It's very simple. The Lord liveth before whom I stand. That's the very first thing, and we'll go ahead and turn there. I want us to look at this. The very first thing, the very first time Elijah appears on the scene, the very first thing that comes out of his mouth, I mean, the very first declaration of him in the scriptures, the very first passage, the very first thing that comes out of his mouth. This is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the very first thing that comes out of this man's mouth, the Lord God of Israel liveth. You can hear Paul. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel's here. The vessel's here. Yet not I, the life of the vessel, but Christ liveth in me. Elijah has an understanding, exactly the same understanding as Paul. Who lives? The Lord liveth. Elijah liveth not. The Lord liveth. He goes on to say, before whom I stand. His heart's turned to the Lord. There is no veil. Before whom I stand, before whom I remain, face to face. That's what it is. You can check out the words in your Strong's, if you like, with an interlinear. Check out those words. That's what it means. He stands in before the face of the Lord. He stands. Standing means to remain, means to continue, means to not be going back and forth. No, he stands before the face of the Lord, before the Lord himself. That's why Elijah can say, I, the servant, I, thy servant. If at any moment Elijah's heart turns from the Lord, then Elijah can say, I, a Lord, or I, a master. Because it would no longer be the Lord's face that he had in view, but his own face. And that's exactly what it is. If our hearts are not turned to the Lord, and if the veil has not been removed, then we behold our own face. We are the object. But it is not purposed to be so. The Lord did not purpose it that way. The Lord did not purpose it that way. He purposed that our souls would be filled with the glory of the Lord, and not stopping there, be filled with the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Not just the life, the glory that's present, but the light of the knowledge, the understanding, the knowledge, the knowing of the glory of the Lord that is present. There's life, there must be light. He didn't leave it with just a creation. He just didn't say, and God created the heavens and the earth and he left it alone and there it is. No. It says real clearly in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first thing he does, and then he describes, you know, the earth, formless and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. The Spirit of the Lord hovers over it. And he says one thing, let there be light. Light in the creation. Okay? So back with Elijah. Let it be known. I love this. Let it be known this day. Lord God Abraham and Isaac and of Israel. Let it be known. Let it be known. To know. There it is. To have knowledge. To have. To know. To see is to know. Let it be known this day. Back to Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. There are so many, so sad to say, it's saddening to say, there are so many who are born again who have never experienced the light of day, who do not experience the day. Okay? Born blind. We have been brought into the day. We are no longer of the night, no longer of the darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom. Kingdom of the Son of His love. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But like in John chapter 9, there was a guy that was born blind. From birth, he was blind. And from new birth, we are blind. Until the light of life appears. When he appears, we see. Why? Because we see him. We see his face, no longer our face. We see his face, the face of the Lord, the face of the beloved Son. And if we do not, then we behold our own face, and the veil is present. And we walk in darkness. We walk in ignorance. Okay. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day. this day. I love that. This day. That thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. You hear the relationship testified of the Father and the Son right here. You hear the same relationship testified. What did Jesus say? I did not heal that man. The Father in me, he doeth the works. Those are not my words. The Father in me speaketh. They're the words of my Father. The exact same relationship of the Father and the Son. You find it right here. Elijah, yes, he's a type of Jesus of Nazareth. Elisha, a type of the risen Lord. Or others have said that Elijah is a type of the church. Either way, it is showing, testifying of a relationship. Not I, but Jehovah liveth. Not I, but the Lord liveth, before whom I remain. And all that comes out, all the action, because he is the origin, the point from which all action, motion proceeds. Because of that, all the works that are done are his. They're not mine. I can't take credit. That's what the Lord said of his Father, Jesus of the Father. It is not I, but the Father in me that doeth the works. This is what Elijah says right here. I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. At thy word. I didn't do them of my own accord, of my own mind, of my own will, of my own understanding. No, I have an understanding. The Lord liveth before whom I stand, before whom I remain. The Lord liveth before whose face I continue. It's beautiful. Okay. And it goes on, verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord. And I love this right here. The whole goal of the entire testimony, the whole goal of the scriptures right here, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Very simple. It's the simplicity of Christ. Very simple. The heart. The Lord has initiated this. Jesus also said, you could not come to me except the Father draw you. You could not come to me except the Father draw you. John, the Apostle John, we love him because he first loved us. The Lord takes the initiative. The Lord takes the initiative continually. And I did share it in a previous class. It is because he is faithful to his Son. He's faithful. His faithfulness is to his Son, his beloved Son. It's very simple. Christ is continually the object. We are never the object. Christ is the object. Okay? That's why this is a sure thing. It is a secure thing. Because it's founded upon the Lord. Founded upon a rock. Founded upon Christ. Never to be removed. He's that object. When you move from Christ being the object, then it's shaky ground. Because why? You become the object. If we're not beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, beholding his face with an unveiled heart, with an unveiled view, with an unveiled soul, then we are beholding our own face. And there's a veil present, a veil of ignorance. Ignorance to the indwelling Christ. Ignorance to the Lord, both Lord and Christ. And we'll be looking at that in a upcoming class. That's why they got so upset with the apostles, the religious leaders, because they were declaring Jesus both Lord and Christ. Everything's fine until you declare him to be the Lord and the Christ. Okay? All right. So that's Elijah. All that he does, all that he says, and seen of by many as one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And that's why. The source, the origin of all that he did, of all that he said, is the Lord himself. Why? His heart is turned to the Lord. There is no veil. The Lord liveth before whom I stand, before whose face I continue, before whose face I remain. Very beautiful. All right. I want us to look at this next passage because I am going to be going into Moses. We'll be looking at Moses in the Old Testament scriptures. Because Moses, he's a type of Christ. He was to testify of Christ. All the characters in the Old Testament are to testify of Christ. When they don't testify of Christ, then they've fallen from the testimony, and you can see the Lord recovering his testimony, bringing them back into testimony, bringing them back in to purpose. Just like right here with Elijah and the people. Elijah and Israel, the people of God. The people of God, they left purpose. Their purpose was to testify of Christ. They left that purpose. Here comes the Lord, gathering them back in unto purpose. Back unto purpose. Okay? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And all this happens, all this happens automatically. When the heart turns, the veil is removed, and the Lord appears. We can go on reading. Verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again." Verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." And listen, verse 39, "And when the people saw..." Is not our God a consuming fire? He is. John on the Isle of Patmos said, "I saw him and his countenance was brighter than the sun." Was it like the sun on the noonday, above the brightness of the sun? A consuming fire, that's what James says. "And when all the people saw, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God.'" That's it. They saw, they knew. To see is to know. That's it. Everything else is automatic. They've now been brought back. Brought back into what? Into purpose. Into the purpose for which they existed. They've been, their hearts have been turned. Now everything is automatic out of that. Now they're walking in purpose. Now they're walking in light. What light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Here it's typified. They're walking in the light, in the knowledge of the Lord. The Lord, He is the God. There's no more confusion now. There's no more, "Well, maybe it's Baal. I think it's Baal. And, well, I don't know. Maybe it could be the Lord." No. There's no more confusion. When there's light present, there is no confusion. There's no question. There is a righteous judgment. Very clear. Jesus spoke to the religious leaders. He said, You judge with an unrighteous judgment. And he says, "After that judgment, I judge no man." Why? Because he does not judge with an unrighteous judgment. The unrighteous judgment of the seeing of the natural eye, the hearing of the natural ear, the understanding of the natural brain, that's unrighteousness. But he says, "I judge with a righteous judgment." His judgment is righteousness. Why? He's the light. All things are judged clear in light. All things are exposed in light. There's no question as to this or to that. No, it's very clear what this is, what that is, what the purpose is not, what the life is, what the life is not. But it's only when the light is present. Who is Christ? The appearing of Christ. The revealing of the Son. The light of the creation. The light of life. Okay. Let's see. And maybe it's just an emphasis for those who consider themselves to be in ministry, or for those who desire to be in ministry, who have a heart to serve the Lord. Please listen. You will minister whether you have a title or not. You will testify whether you have a title given to you of man or not. Why? Because we declare what we are knowing. Even the heathen do. You declare what you are knowing. If you're not knowing the Lord, you're not declaring the Lord. Doesn't matter. You're declaring religion. You're declaring the works of the flesh. You're declaring the religion of man. Trying to be the object versus beholding the Lord and declaring the object, who is Christ Himself, the Son Himself. Okay? You will declare what you know. Always. and you will only know what you see. That's it. You will either see with your natural eye and have an unrighteous judgment, therefore an unrighteous declaring, or you will see with the eye of faith, because your heart has been turned to the Lord, the veil has been removed, and you will behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you will declare what you see. You will declare what you know. And it will be light and life. It's a sobering thought. It is a sobering thought. The Lord didn't change it. The Lord didn't leave it any less than purpose. The Lord didn't leave it open for anything less than purpose. No. You continue in purpose. This is what the Lord told. We've looked at this verse time and time again. What the Lord told to Paul, Saul at the time on the Emmaus road, on the road to Damascus. He says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness. A witness. You will minister what you have witnessed, what you will witness. A minister and a witness of this. Of what? Of things? Of events? No, of this. Thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. Very simple. You will begin in purpose. I have appeared unto thee, and you will continue in purpose. Thy seeing me hereafter. I will appear hereafter. Hereafter. A continuation. It implies a continuation. It's not just a one-time event. No. It all has to do with the heart. Always has to do with the heart. Okay? And it's the heart turning unto the Lord. All right. Let's see. This is Hebrews, and I didn't read the whole passage, but I'll just read a little bit, an excerpt. But because I've my notes, all these notes, the next couple of classes are going to be dealing with Moses as how he is a type of Christ, okay? I'll just lay that out for you. So I've been thinking about Moses, and because I've been reading the whole passage, the account with Moses and the Israelites, the children of Israel, and all the things that Moses has to go through with the children of Israel. You know, their murmurings, their gripings, their complainings. You know, even when Moses first comes and tells Pharaoh, let my people go, you know. And Pharaoh gets mad and says, okay, you guys are lazy, so now I'm going to double the tally of bricks you need to make, and I'm not going to give you straw. You know, you have all this free time on your hands. Now I'm going to go make bricks with whatever you can find. And so even before they're delivered out of Egypt, they're already griping and complaining. You know, Moses, you and Aaron came, and now it's tough on us. It's terrible. I can't stand it. Just go away. You know, it was fine among the dead. We were just so relaxed and so asleep to reality among the dead. But there's Moses. Nonetheless, why? Did Moses send himself? No. The Lord sent Moses. Was it Moses' mind? No. It was the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord is found in light. The mind of the Lord is fully and operating in the light who Christ is. Very simple. If your heart is turned from the Lord unto anything else, you behold your own face. Therefore, it is your mind, not the mind of Christ. Oh, if you're born again, the mind of Christ is present. Yes, it's present. But the mind of Christ is not known to be present. Therefore, you're not functioning out from that mind. Nevertheless, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And we all, with open face, whose hearts are turned with an unveiled face, are beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, transformed into that same image. It's only when the heart is turned to the Lord with an unveiled face that the mind of Christ is operating. Why? Because there's light. Okay. So I've been thinking about Moses and just all the stuff that he went through with the children of Israel. And I'll just go ahead and read this verse that has really been thundering in my own heart. Hebrews 11, verse 27. And it goes, you know, it says it way before that. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses did this. Moses did that. By faith, he esteemed this. He esteemed that. By faith, All right, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. This is the passage that really has just been thundering like crazy. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured the waters, the bitter waters, the murmurings, the gripings, the rebellions, everything. Think of the whole little story of Moses and the children of Israel. All that he went through, all the fears that he had, all the complaints of the people of God, all the this of that, all the threats of Egypt, of Pharaoh, everything. And yet there's this one little verse, one little portion of Scripture that covers the whole thing. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses, his heart was turned to the Lord. Therefore, all that he did was not out of his own mind, was not out of his own devices, out of his own understanding. It was the mind of the Lord. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How can you see one who's invisible? Not with the natural eye, the turning of the heart. Beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. And we all, with open face, with an unveiled heart, are beholding, as in a glass. It is the eye of the understanding. The eye of your understanding being enlightened. That's what Paul was praying for the Ephesians. That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Him. The knowing of Him. The knowing of Christ. The eye of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's nothing less than the appearing of the Lord and nothing less than continuing in that very same appearing. So here we have Moses. He endured as seeing. Not as having seen. No, as seeing. Continually. A continual. It is an ongoing thing. Seeing him who is invisible. I love that. I love that. I'll even mark it right here. I love that. The next passage that I was looking at, that I was thinking about, is Luke. This is Jesus speaking to some of his disciples. Let me just write this down. Everything's found when the heart is turned to the Lord. Everything's found when there is no veil. Everything is found in the light, in the appearing of Christ. Everything is found right there in the appearing of Christ and the continuing in that very same appearing. All right. This is Luke chapter 22. Let's see. Verse 32, and let me just check. Yeah, it's verse 32. Yeah. I'll start with verse 31. It's the little subtitle I have in my Bible is Peter's Denial Foretold. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you, that he may sift you as wheat. The enemy wants you so he can sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. For what purpose? To what end? What goal? That thy faith fail not. And we've seen it before in previous classes. Faith is not believing in something that you may or may not happen, like hoping that I win the lotto. No, that's not faith. Faith is seeing that which cannot be seen with the natural eye. That cannot be that which cannot be heard with the natural ear. Faith is seeing. By faith, listen, by faith, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. That's faith. Now, listen, now faith, still in Hebrews, now faith is the substance of that which cannot be seen in the natural. The evidence. I'll go ahead and read it. I know I'm not doing the verse justice. I'm not quoting it correctly. Let's go ahead and read it. Now faith is the substance. There's only one substance that's declared. The substance of the Scriptures, which is Christ Himself. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Of that, listen, faith is the substance of that which was in expectation for. They were in expectation for what? The appearing of the Messiah. Very simple, the appearing of the Messiah. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is seen. It's the substance. It's the person. It's seeing the person of everything that was hoped for. Seeing the substance. Seeing the person who is Christ Himself. Nothing. It's never anything less than Christ Himself. Never anything less than Christ Himself. Christ is always continually the object. The Father made it that way. All right. So it goes on. Verse 32, of Luke chapter 22, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And I love this. See, we get it all whacked out. You know, we look at Peter. Oh, Peter. Oh, yeah. Peter's great. He's like leading the church. I mean, he preaches on the very first day of Pentecost, you know, right after being born again and filled with the Spirit. And, you know, 2,000, 3,000. And here they come by the droves of thousands. What an awesome preacher Peter is. Listen to this. Listen to this. Is it Peter? Listen to this. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Very simple. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The two words art converted, the Strong's number 1994. I think in the Greek, it's called epistrepho. It's just a Greek term. Look at it. If you have a Strong's concordance, look at that number, 1994. Look at it. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 15. I'll start with verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Speaking of those who, the Jews who aren't born again at that moment. Remember, I told you the purpose is the same whether you're born again or not. It's the appearing of Christ in the soul. It's the appearing of Christ. Okay? Verse 16. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That word turn, check that word turn out in the Strong's Concordance. Is Strong's number 1994, the Greek word epistrepho. The Lord speaking to Peter. Luke 22, 32. And when thou art converted, when thy heart is turned, strengthen thy brethren. Do you see the soberness? What the Lord is saying, the Lord, by saying one statement, He's actually saying two. When your heart is turned, it's the same word, look it up, check it out. When your heart is turned to the Lord and the veil is removed and you are finally beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of life appearing as God, shined out of darkness, the light to shine out of darkness, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When your heart finally turns, when you are converted, when your heart finally turns to the Lord, and there is no veil, then strengthen your brethren. Then there will be a building up. By saying that, He's also saying this. If your heart is not turned to the Lord, if there remains a veil, you will not be able to strengthen your brethren. There will not be a strengthening of the brethren. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's so very clear. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. If he's not converted, if his heart isn't turned to the Lord, there's no strength for the brethren. There's no light. There's no knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There is no faith. Faith. Everything that is not faith is sin. Separation. Right? Because there is a perceived separation. If your heart is turned to something else, you'd be holding your own face. There is a veil present. A veil that veils the glory of God. That doesn't veil the glory of God. The glory of God is present. The veil is upon our hearts, not upon Him. He has no veil. A veil of ignorance. Ignorance of the indwelling Christ. Therefore, in our minds, He is one place. We're another. God is one place. We're another place. And there goes the prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, do this for me. Lord, help me with this. Help me with that. It's all automatic in His appearing. When there's light, when the heart finally turns to the Lord, when the heart finally is, I'll use the words here in Luke, converted, turned to the Lord, there's light. There is strength. There is an understanding like Elijah. The Lord God liveth before whom I stand. From here, strengthen thy brethren. From here, listen, co-labor with the Holy Spirit, right? Oh, well, what is the Holy Spirit doing? What He always does, testifying of Christ. To what end? To what purpose? That the heart, simple, would turn to the Lord, the veil being removed, Christ would appear. Co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. To regather back into purpose, the appearing of the Lord. Very simple, very simple. You can't say that Peter had something else in mind, or that the Lord had something else in mind. No, because he also speaks in his epistles, in the epistles of Peter. He says, as a light that shines in a dark place, till the day star arise in your hearts. As a light that shineth in a dark place, so the day star, till the day star arise in your hearts. Till the heart finally turns to the Lord, just like Paul said, as God commanded the light to shine in a dark place, so hath He shined to give the light of the knowledge. So hath He shined where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There is no ministry of life of Christ if there is no seeing of Christ. Paul said it this way, but it's exactly what he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him. There's no preaching of Christ. There is no strengthening of the brethren. There is no regathering back unto purpose if there is not a revealing of Christ, if there is not an appearing of Christ in the soul. There must be. If there is not, listen, a continuing in purpose, if there is not a walking in the light, there must be a continuing in purpose. There must be a walking in the light as He is in the light. Okay? I don't think we're going to end up getting to the actual notes of this class, but I do believe it's just the mind of the Lord. Just to draw our hearts back to purpose for no other reason. As I said, this is more than just a class. This class will come to an end. It will come to an end at some point. But the Holy Spirit continually deals with the heart. The dealing of the Holy Spirit will remain, will continue. That the heart would turn unto the Lord, the veil being removed, that Christ would appear, that the Son be revealed, that we would walk in purpose, that we would walk in the purpose for which our souls were created, that we would continue in purpose, that we would walk in light. I did have another verse in mind. I can't think of it. There you go. But that is it. The necessity of the appearing of Christ, shall I say it this way, in all things, even in ministry. We will either minister life and righteousness, or we will minister death and condemnation. It will be one or the other. It will either be light and life, or darkness and death. It'll either be Christ, or it'll be the flesh. One or the other. It's always like that. The Lord didn't leave it up to our imagination. So, there you go. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. May the Lord keep us in purpose. May we grow in His purpose. May we grow in the understanding and the knowledge of His purpose. May we walk in His purpose. May we walk in light. May we walk in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So with that, I'll end. And the Lord bless you all. I'll see you guys for the next class. Right? Amen.